radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Drifting down the dusty Dixie Road, taking my mind back in time. LA lights burn like hell once you know you left heaven waiting down the Dixie Road.
And I'm holding a good hand, I bet my life on you. Not gonna let go. Now that I found a heart that's true, just want a full house and a little piece of land. And I walk through life holding a good hand.
I don't mind the cold when I have a fire to warm me. I don't mind the rain, 'cause it makes the flowers grow.
My guest on the show, country artist Lee Greenwood, has sent a long list of songs to the top of the country charts. He's got songs you want to sing along to like Dixie Road and Holdin' a Good Hand, songs that will set a romantic mood like I.O.U. and I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose, and of course his hugely popular patriotic anthem, God Bless the USA. Lee has recorded some of his songs and shows from July of this year to put together his first ever live concert CD, and that is exciting news for Lee Greenwood fans. My pleasure to welcome him now to the show. Hey there, Lee.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am doing terrific. How are you this evening?
Excellent, thank you. I just took my 15-year-old son, who's a freshman in high school now, out for Mexican food at our favorite restaurant called Nacho's, and we communicated by text to his brother, my other son, who is now a freshman at Washington and Lee University in Virginia.
Wow. Isn't that cool? How does it feel to have them all grown up and making these big starts on their own?
Well, what I don't like is they're both taller than me. That's the thing that really bothers me the most. But they're both stellar students, and I'm excited for both of them as they pursue their career path.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, Lee, as I mentioned, the exciting news is the live CD. And for any of us who've ever seen you or watched you, we know how great your performances are, how much passion and energy go in. So it's going to be great to hear the songs done that way. How did you come about to make that decision?
Well, this year was an interesting year where we had seven shows across the 4th of July weekend, most of them outdoors with the exception of the free show I did for the Army at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. The rest of them were all 30,000-plus crowds. And I thought, well, you know, let's just for once capture that energy, capture that excitement from the audience, and see if we can't get a CD from all of that actually, as you said, produces the electric energy that I usually have on stage. We made it even more interesting for the fans in as much as they all could submit pictures from those seven shows for the CD cover. And the fan that gets the picture for the CD cover will put their picture on the inside jacket.
That is awesome. I love that. And I also understand you, through social media and email, people could let you know what songs they wanted to hear on this CD, what their favorite hits were.
Yeah, and that list is quite varied because in most of the shows we change the list up. But people didn't just suggest songs from the shows. They actually suggested songs from my past career that we didn't even do on stage. But there were the popular ones. There were the very first group of hits that we had that seemed like whatever artist you really like, it's always the first songs that you got to be a fan of them.
Right.
I'm just that way with other artists as well. I like their original material. And then there are those that kind of just go along, and you'll get every once in a while a spike and a hit that was really cool. So we had a really big list of songs, but we're just going to take the most requested ones and try to make something of that.
And how many songs, Lee, can we expect on that album?
Well, we've been talking about it now, and I think we're probably in the neighborhood between 16 and 18. So it'll be very big CD covering off a lot of my career and a lot of the material we did over those 4th of July weekend.
And you talk about first songs from an artist, and the first one that I heard from you and it got me excited about your music, went out and bought your album, was the song I Owe You.
It was one of those that crossed over. We had no idea how important that would be in the future, but there were about five or six songs of ours that got onto the AC charts and even to the pop charts. And I'm not just speaking of the patriotic anthem, God Bless the USA, but The Wind Beneath My Wings. I was the first one to record that. That went international as well. Somebody's Gonna Love You. Of course, I Owe You, to me, there was a duet with Barbara Mandrell, and Hopelessly Yours was nominated for a Grammy with Susie Boggess. All of those had AC or pop play. And it really helped my career at a time when people just conceive or perceive me as a country artist.
Yeah, because your music and those songs you mentioned definitely are crossover songs and appeal to fans who would be outside of country music. And you mentioned the duet. There was that album, Meant for Each Other, which I loved. It was all duets with you and Barbara Mandrell. Every song was the two of you. And to me was the song that was on the radio and the hit, as you mentioned. Mac David and Mike Reed wrote that one. When you first heard that demo, Lee, did you just fall in love with that song?
Well, actually, I'll tell you something that you probably would not expect to hear. My producer was Jerry Crutchfield. Barbara's producer was Tom Collins. And so they called the production team Tom and Jerry. And when Mike Reed played to me for us in the studio, Jerry and I looked at each other because we had our own solo career that was it was quite dynamic at the time. And we just looked at each other and said, we should have had this one for ourselves. But when we got the recording finally with Barbara and I on it, our voices really matched up really well. And I loved Barbara, and we toured together quite a bit. The title song, We Were Meant for Each Other, that was the catalyst for the CD, because I wrote that one and took it to Barbara while we were on tour. Had we never had that one, we wouldn't have had the To Me song.
To me, you are the hand that I reach for when I've lost my way. To me, you are the first star of evening, the sun that warms my day. Just as sure as I'm sure there's a heaven, this was meant to be. No road is too long, as long as you are the truth I believe in.
Interesting how that came about. Like I said, I do remember that one very well, and it obviously strikes me and many others, I'm sure, as a wedding song. I'm sure you heard that over the years, that people use that in that case.
They did, as well as IOU.
Definitely, two great songs in that category. Now, another one that's very catchy of yours, talking about your greatest hits, Hold in a Good Hand. Rob Crosby and Johnny Few wrote this one. And it is one of those, similar to Dixie Road, where people sing along to the chorus.
Yeah, I've never, when we moved from MCA to Capitol, there were three albums that we did over there that were all hits. Of course, we did Perfect Ten, the Hold in a Good Hand album, and the American Patriot. And Hold in a Good Hand was, it was a traditional country song, and it was kind of like, you know, a personal thing, because I met my wife, Kim, who was a Miss Tennessee, and she's my queen, and I was a dealer in Vegas, so Cards came into play, the Queen of Hearts came into play, and so they pitched the right song to the right guy at the right time.
Yeah, it did. It definitely suits you, and again, it's a sing-along song. When you're pitched songs, Lee, over your career and still to this day, that's got to be an exciting part. When you, the song is in front of you and you're listening to it, the first 10 or 20 seconds, and it's grabbing you, that's got to still be a rush for you.
Well, it is, and also when I write one, you know, that I finish it, and it still makes me feel good when I sing it. Because lots of times you'll write something, and it's kind of like a child. You want to, like, show your child off to everybody. You know, you call your best friend, listen to this, you know. And then when you play it back for them, you go, maybe it ain't so good as I thought. But you're right. When I first hear a song, if it does touch me from the very beginning, I see how it fits into my personal life and into my career. And if you pitch a song to an artist and it doesn't really have anything to do with their career or their personal life, it probably will not be recorded by them.
If the artist can't embrace the song, you know, could go on to become a hit, they've got to sing it for the next 20 years.
I don't know that anybody's ever considered how many times they have to sing a song. You know, they just want a hit. And then suddenly you get Achy Breaky Heart, and it's like, oh, do I have to sing this the rest of my career?
Exactly. The song, you're speaking of songwriting a moment ago, A Love Song, which you recorded first. Kenny Rogers recorded it for one of his albums. It is such a beautiful song, very poetic. That must have been great to have a cut and a single from Kenny Rogers.
We were signed to MCA Music at the time and MCA Records. We were cross-collateralized so that anything I made in the writing field would be placed against earning in the record field in case the records didn't sell. So Pat Higdon, who was the song pitcher at MCA at the time, said, we're looking for songs for Kenny Rogers. He's in Los Angeles, and he's starting to record this week. We need something like The Gambler. So I went in the studio, and I went, I can't write The Gambler. It just isn't in me. You know. And I called my guitar player, and I said, I've got this idea for a song. I was driving down the road the other day at night. It was kind of dusk, and I saw a lot of headlights coming in the other way. Why are all these people going somewhere? You know, and if they're going home, you know, why do people cry when they hear the words goodbye and a love song on the radio? And then I said, well, there's the first line of the song. I went home immediately and I wrote it. I called my guitar player, and we went in the studio and recorded it as a demo, and just he and I. And I gave it to Pat Higdon, and he said, you know what, this is not The Gambler, but I kind of like it. And he sent it immediately, mail. Those are the days we didn't have email now. Sent it mail to Los Angeles, and Kenny got it and recorded it within the week. And then the question came out, who was going to release it as a single? Because we had my first album, Inside Out, and we were putting a love song on that album, but I wasn't going to release it as a single. So I called Kenny, who I knew very well, because I knew him from the first edition days. And I said, I'm not releasing this as a single. You can have it if you want it. And so he did and released it. It became number one over Europe and around the world.
It's such a beautiful song, and I'll encourage our listeners to check out both of your versions where they can find them.
Why do people cry when they hear the word goodbye in a love song? and you know they gave it all in a love song. Somehow two lovers get a chance at a beautiful romance, and you wish it could be you. 'Cause everybody's needing what the singers all are singing in a love song. It can tear you apart, 'cause a word can break a heart in a love song. They put all the things you feel, and they make it sound so real in a love song. It seems that everything they say is said in such a way that we believe it's true. 'Cause everybody's needing what the singers are.
Have a song in your catalog, Lee, that you've written that you think is just right for so-and-so, for this artist?
I have a lot of my own favorite songs that I've written. There's a song on one of my albums called My Lover's Eyes, which I just really love. There's also an R&B song on my latest CD called Here Comes Love, There Goes My Heart, which I wrote almost 20 years ago, and it's got a kind of a real jazzy flavor, and I play horn on it, so that kind of makes it special for me. So those two songs I probably would have pitched to somebody else had I not liked them so well and recorded them myself.
Right. Well, let's turn to a song that was a huge hit. I believe it was your third number one song. Writers on this, Don Goodman, Pam Rose, and Marianne Kennedy, a few of them in different forms and combinations, have written other of your big songs. The song Dixie Road, this is, to me, of your up-tempo songs, probably my favorite. Always makes me want to sing along or tap my feet along to it. Tell us about the story behind this one and finding it.
We had, on our very first album, we had a song called Ring on Her Finger, Time on Her Hands, and it was a beautiful ballad written by the same three writers. And I didn't know about Dixie Road at the time. And so we were looking for songs for our second and third album, and Dixie Road popped up only because we were looking at the catalog from the same three writers. And so I called Pam Rose, who, they were in a group called the Cherry Sisters, and those two girls and one other sang behind all my first, like, six or eight albums. And so I called and I said, why didn't you pitch me this song then? She said, well, I didn't think you'd like it. You know, it didn't seem to be your kind of song. So there's kind of a key about new artists or artists. Never pitch them the same thing twice. Always have expectations about they wanting to expand their field as well. So anyway, I recorded Dixie Road that year, and it was the most played song, I think, in country music that year, 85.
Pretty amazing. Well, it is a great song, a great story in it, and just one of those terrific country songs. Let's share it now, Lee Greenwood and Dixie Road on In the Country.
I would pick and we would sing to the rhythm of that front porch swing. The moonlight was a spotlight that we shared. I found new notes on that old guitar. She believed I could be a star. She told me that she wanted to be friends. She said, love alone that holds you down. Boy, you're glory bound. We can't share a world of different dreams. So I chased mine, and she found hers too. But someone else made hers come true. Now I'm a star, but every time I sing,
my heart goes
drifting down a dusty Dixie road, taking my mind back in time.
LA lights burn like hell. Once you know,
you left heaven waiting down the Dixie road.
Every night I'm in a different place, and I'm searching every stranger's face, trying to find the girl who's just not there. She's back there in Montgomery, and I'm clear across the country. But whenever I'm alone, I go back there.
My heart goes
drifting down the dusty Dixie Road, taking my mind back in time.
LA lights burn like hell. Once you know,
you left heaven waiting down the Dixie Road.
My heart goes drifting down a dusty Dixie Road, taking my mind back in time.
LA lights burn like hell. Once you know, you left heaven waiting down a Dixie Road.
My heart goes
drifting down a dusty Dixie Road, taking my mind.
And the great news is Lee has recorded some of his shows. He's going to be putting out his first ever live concert CD with about 15 to 17 songs. So it's going to be a great experience to listen to. When is that planned, Lee, to be available to purchase?
Well, we're in the editing stage now, and of course we're sifting through thousands of pictures that were sent to us digitally that fans have sent in over that for the cover of the CD. So I'm thinking in the fall we'll have it edited and done and out, probably October.
Great. And I've noticed lately social media is something that you are really engaging in through Twitter and Facebook. You're engaging your fans and really getting your presence out there. Is that something important to you, to express yourself through the big medium today of social media?
Yeah, it is, and it's something I had to learn, because in the old days when we were, let's say, touring with Alabama or Orchard Boys, or, you know, we had our fan list that were 10,000 or so, and it was all the old style with just mailing in and the mail order merchandise. And today they connect so fast that fans get bored if you're not engaged. And so what we do is we make sure that we have tweets from me or something posted on my Facebook wall that everybody can kind of pick up immediately and follow me in my career, because that's what they want to do. They want to know instantly what you're doing and where you're going. So we're trying to provide as much of that information as possible. And yet, to say this, that I've always been sort of a private life, and it was hard for me to begin to open up enough to let fans know what I'm doing every minute.
Let's talk about the Grand Ole Opry, Lee. And the last time you called me in 2010, it was right before a Grand Ole Opry performance. And just a couple of weeks back in August, around August 20th, you were back at the Opry, one of your many performances there. What is it like performing on that stage?
Well, the Grand Ole Opry is the center of, and the hub of country music. I mean, you have the Country Music Awards show in the same theater, seats about 4,000. They have shows at Coast to Coast in different theaters. But once you played on the Opry stage, and of course, whether it's the Ryman downtown, which is a much smaller venue, or the Big House, we call it, over in Briley Parkway,
right,
there's a little circle that's cut out from the old Ryman, put in the new stage. And, of course, we had a flood here a few years ago in Nashville, and they had to redo all the seats in the backstage area, and it's really pretty now. You don't have that musty smell and the spider webs that you used to have, but it's still the nostalgia of the old country music, all of the artists who performed there before us. And, because I've been in Nashville touring almost 30 years, I knew a lot of the people who are not with us anymore who performed in the Opry. So when you get on that stage and you look out in the audience, you know what they expect from you. And they expect to have an artist that represents the country music business here in Nashville, Tennessee. Music City, if you will. So I always try to do that and be a good ambassador for country music.
Now, Lee, you talked about people who stood on that stage. Of course, many of them gone now, but left behind such great songs for us to still listen to. One of them most recently, of course, legend George Jones. We love him. And love his music still. Can you talk about just his legacy in country music?
One of the greatest country music singers ever. George had such a range in his voice, and he had a way of delivering a song. You knew, first of all, it was country. You knew, second of all, that he'd reach and communicate through his voice to all of the people who listened. They lived not far from us here in Franklin, Tennessee, the south of Nashville. As a matter of fact, I know Nancy quite well, and we meet up at the MAPCO occasionally and buy a lottery ticket. The cleaners, the Comet Cleaners, right near us. You can find us in the line occasionally talking. And I can remember the last time I walked up, and her car was in front of mine, and she got out of her car and went in the cleaners. And I'm like, why would somebody get out of the car in the drive-in window and go in the cleaners? So I walked up, and I looked in, and there's Possum sitting on the other side. And I said, hey, what's up? And he said, hey, Lee, what are you doing? You know, and we were just good enough friends to communicate like that. And there is a tribute show. It was going to be actually George Jones' last concert, November 22nd, here in Nashville at the Bridgestone Arena. But unfortunately, he passed on this year, so it's going to be a tribute show. And just kind of keep your eyes and ears open for that. There's going to be a myriad of artists who will perform on the show. I don't know exactly what the format yet is, but I'm imagining that most of us will sing some song that George Jones made famous.
Wow, that is... That will be quite a show, quite a celebration of his life. And as you said, I mean, his voice is unmistakable. It's country. There's you never have to wonder about that. And such a range of great songs. Lee, I wanted to ask you, we talked earlier about duet partners, Susie Boggess, Barbara Mandrell, very successful duets with both of them. Is there anybody out there that you've got on a list, a mental list at least, that you want to record with someday, want to do a duet with?
Well... I don't know. When you talk about matching up your voice, you don't really know until you get in the studio. If you breathe alike, if you sound alike, there's a lot of great singers, female and male, you know, that would be fun to sing with. It just depends. A lot of it's political, oddly enough, Dave. It depends whether or not you're on the same label or you're both free artists, you're not on the same label, or not on any label at all. So there's a little politics involved. But the artists, you know, who I admire, of course, who are such great singers, I mean, I know Brad Paisley very well. He's included me in some of his songs. You know, Jason Aldean, who's a great performer, I kind of like the way he sings, and I kind of a rock and roll style like I have. Everybody seems to like Zac Brown. Even my young son, Parker, sings some of Zac Brown's song in his school.
Yeah.
So that would be fun to sing with them. And I know that there's a Crossroads thing. That I think it was Stevie Winwood and Ricky Skaggs did a deal.
Right.
So if we could get a Crossroads thing with some pop artist, like say maybe Tower of Power, or you know some artist from a different venue than country, that would be kind of fun for me.
That would be fun, yeah, to hear you teamed up with someone from another genre, because that always creates some magic on its own. I want to turn to another song, one of your big hits, as we're discussing them here, to do with your live concert CD that should be available later this fall, LeeGreenwood.com. People can follow to get the latest. But this song is one of my favorites, I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose. I understand it was your fourth number one, 1985, written by Jan Buckingham and Linda Young.
Powerful song. You know, it just says, I forgive you for the small things that you do I don't like, but I love you anyway. And it has this soaring chorus. It was one of the ballads we had that we never had background singers on it. I did it all by myself. And that was interesting because a lot of our songs had background singers which sort of embellished and harmonized with me and made it a little fuller. But this was kind of naked, you know, and I said, I want to do this song, and Jerry Crutchfield said, my producer said, absolutely, this is made for you.
Yes. Yeah, it's got that chorus that in other songs, when we hear it, it's the passion, the emotion. Is that something you came along early in your career, Lee, or did you discover that about your voice, that you could really get that emotion into a song?
Yeah, I discovered it early, probably before I ever came to Nashville. I mean, I was in Nevada for almost 20 years. I can remember singing Wichita Lineman on the stage at one of these big concerts, stages that I performed on with a large review at the MGM. And it was called the Bonanza Hotel, where the MGM now sits. And I would walk out and sing Wichita Lineman. And I said, you know, these are the kind of songs I want to record someday. And I had a lot of those ballads in my repertoire. So when I got to Nashville, it was instantly a good match to find ballads that would match with my voice. Of course, we had It Turns Me Inside Out, and She's Lying, and Going, Gone, and Thorns, and,
yeah.
And you know, there was a dozen or so. And we tried to stay away from the all hurting songs. I really like some of the more positive things, like I.O.U. Wind Beneath My Wings, but we certainly had a lot of those that had tragedy in them, and that was okay, because I think people got to fall in love with the emotion that I gave, because it described how you felt when you were hurt.
Definitely, and early on, one of the songs that I heard of yours that had that in it was She's Lying, and there is just so much bittersweet, there's a torn emotion in it. The singer in it is just at a crossroads.
She's Lying was written by Jan Crutchfield, who we lost earlier this year, by the way, my producer's brother, both from Paducah, Kentucky, and he wrote It Turns Me Inside Out, Going, Going, Gone, and She's Lying. And how She's Lying was different than the other two, or most of the other records I recorded, was like it had this place where I could just take off and sing really high, like Roy Orbison. Of course, he had Crying, right. I had Lying, so there was kind of some similarity there.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
but we had a time constraint with this particular song. It was so slow with two verses and one chorus. We actually eliminated the second verse and went straight to the chorus. And without doing verse, chorus, we just moved the second verse up and did two verses in a row. And that had never been done before. So when I did the chorus, I stood at one time and got to show off my range. And then people stopped saying, he sounds like Kenny Rogers, because they said that for the first four or five songs. And then they went, oh, my gosh, listen to that one. He sings a little bit higher than Kenny does.
Yeah. There is definitely a difference. Let's share the song we talked about a few moments ago, this beautiful song about forgiveness and understanding, and just a wonderful song. It's called I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose. This is Lee Greenwood on In the Country.
Let me hold you for a while. All you have to do is smile, and I'm yours again. I may not like some things you do, but they're all a part of you, and you're my best friend. I don't mind the cold when I have a fire to warm me. I don't mind the rain, 'cause it makes the flowers grow. I can take bad times when you wrap your love around me. I don't mind the thorns when you're the rose. Day, we can work the whole thing out. That's what love's about. And I understand. You didn't mean the things you said. They're so easy to forget when you take my hand. I don't. When I have a fire to warm me, I don't mind the rain, 'cause it makes the flowers grow. I can take the bad times when you wrap your love around me.
From my guest, Lee Greenwood, I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose. What a wonderful song, Lee. So powerful, and you've got to have heard stories about that over the years of how that has helped couples by listening to it and sharing it.
Yeah, I have. It's interesting that our music really has played a big part in a lot of people's lives. You don't realize it, I guess, and I guess that's what sells millions of records, is that it has hit some kind of personal note with the fans and the public.
Definitely. Well, Lee, I want to thank you so much for spending the time with us here, giving us the stories behind some of the greatest hits and sharing Dixie Road and I Don't Mind the Thorns. Beautiful songs, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, terrific, and I really appreciate talking to you. There's times when we were working so hard, we didn't get a chance to reflect on the music we recorded and released. We were at MCA for almost 14 years with two albums a year, and that's an awful lot of music to go through. Sometimes I'm even amazed that my voice was clear enough to record, because working 300 days a year on the road, you're always hoarse. But we got there, and it's nice to reflect on such great music.
It is, because these are memories, and these are songs that all of us will listen to depending on the mood we're in, our frame of mind. Maybe we want to hear Dixie Road to feel good, or IOU to get in that mood. So it's great, I'm sure, for you to hear just how much these songs mean to all your listeners.
Yeah, it sure does, and I'll continue to do that with our new CD. I think we've got some great songs on it as well.
I look forward to that, and of course, it's going to be your first ever live concert CD, and people can keep up to date on that at leegreenwood.com, on your Facebook page, on Twitter, and they'll sure enough know when that will be released and how they can get it. Lee, once again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks a lot. I hope to talk to you soon.
For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.